Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
One, two, three, four. When I turn my radio dial, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
I'm clinging to the fabric of a life that's lost, the large unnecessary cost of death. But underneath the shades of lonely, I can mend. But I can't bring you back and forth the steady sway.
Yeah. All right, folks, welcome to the one and the only Dirty Stalls of a Burns When I Pee. This is episode number 52, and before we get started, just to let everybody know...
They tried to make me go to rehab, I said no, no, no.
You should have said yes, 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 young lady.
She did.
I am your host, the podcasting god. Blake Clayton, and I have my good friend and buddy and brother and all that good stuff, the Amish BJ. What's up, buddy?
How the hell's it going, Blake?
Did you like that? That little surprise kind of was cool, huh?
Yeah, that was. I laughed. It was a deep laugh from way up in my belly.
Well, you know, it's vitally important that we talk about what is going on in the world. And, you know, Amy Winehouse finally dying is so important to the music world.
Yeah, and surprisingly, she added so many more friends this week on Facebook after she died. You know, nobody gave a shit about her when she was still alive, but after she died, she got more Facebook friends.
She's like, I haven't made a song in 3 years, but I'm very relevant.
Yes. Her relevancy went straight through the roof after she died.
Well, it's good to be back. It's a July episode.
Yes, it is. July is a grand month, Blake.
It's a grand month because you had a birthday.
Yes, I did. I turned another year older on July 6th.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk about that later on. But we're here to play the music is what we're here to do, right?
Yep, that is what we're here to do. And before you heard Amy Winehouse singing, She Should Have Went to Rehab, you heard Larry and His Flask, Ebb and Flow off their new album, All That We Know.
And that is a kick-ass new album. And check it out. I bought it personally.
Ooh, Blake spending the money.
You call me a cheap bastard or something?
No, I'm just saying we're all poor right now.
Right.
It's kind of hard. You got to really pick and choose what you're going to buy nowadays.
I'm going to buy every Amy Winehouse memorabilia I can find. It's going to be worth millions.
Me too. I'm going to buy her carcass.
I'm going to buy the needle that she last used to shoot up heroin.
Yeah, you'll probably get something from that. Like, just even having it in your house, you may get skiffies.
Well, no, but like it's like a baseball, like a home run baseball. They're going to put it in that little clear box.
It better be biomedically sealed because you're still going to get something off of it.
Biohazard sticker on the side of it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see anybody die, but come on. I mean, she was trying to. It just took her a long time.
Yeah. See, my thing was, you know, everybody on Facebook with their, oh, poor Amy Winehouse thing. And then people got mad at me for saying, you know, 92 kids were shot to death in Norway the day before. And you didn't see one frickin' status update about that, but one cracked out, ugly looking chick dies, and everybody's like, oh my God, poor Amy Winehouse. I'm spiteful about this whole thing.
Yes. And that's kind of why I wanted to trigger your anger. I love when you get you a little riled up. I don't want to see you over the edge. I don't want to see you hurt nobody. You know,
but, oh no, I'm a lover, not a fighter, Blake.
Right,
I just get a little riled up from time to time,
and
one really got me riled up.
But it does show you how, you know, the world and how we view what is important and what's not important, or what's worth talking about and what's not worth talking about is completely different. You know what I mean?
Especially on Facebook, I think if I'm on there much longer, it's going to steal my soul.
But you have to know it. One day it'll pop up and it'll say, "You're sold." Like, push like.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. I like it because it's not mine anymore, so I'll like it.
Yeah. My black, tortured soul will be there.
We said the same thing about MySpace.
Yeah, we did. And I actually, Facebook this week has had me missing MySpace.
But you know what? There's a new kid in town.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of evil.
It doesn't do anything. Google Plus, it doesn't do anything. I can't push a like button. I can't push a dislike button. I can't add friends I don't ever talk to.
Nice. It does sound like heaven, but I'm kind of leery on Google. I think they're an evil corporation. I almost think it's almost like what the hell was that corporation called in Terminator?
I don't know.
That made the machines and everything. I think they're like that. Oh. Like they're going to get all our information. They're going to start, you know, reproducing freaking robot hybrids to take over the world. It's going
to
happen.
Dude, wouldn't that be awesome to have hybrids of us? That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be the world's first gay robot.
Like, hey,
how about you? See,
how about your boy?
C-3PO is the world's first right. gay robot.
And he was good at it.
He was.
So let's talk about what we're going to have on this outstanding show, episode 52. Yes. It's not all going to be about Google and Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, it's not. We are going to have an interview with Lester T. Raw from the Pine Box Boys.
And let me just say, I always cut you off, and I hate that I do that, but I'm the host, so I get to do that. But this is probably the coolest fucking interview that I've ever did for the show, and it was completely amazing. You may go ahead and go now.
Okay. We also have music by Speed Buggy USA, Charlie Parr, and the Black Twig Pickers. That is a cool name.
It is.
I just want to stop there and just say that's a cool name. And Danny Kay and the Nightlifers, who are personal good friends of mine.
Awesome.
Yep. Sean K. Preston, who is another good friend of mine. The Rust Belt Home Wreckers. Larry and his Flask. And our featured artist, the Pine Box Boys.
It's going to be splendid.
It is. That is one hell of a lineup right there. And also, we're going to have a Camp Krusty update. Excuse me, I burped.
I burped it again.
I burped it again. I'm so professional. IBWIP's pre-certification to have a baby, fan feedback, and contact info, and much, 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 much more.
How can we even get through this show? There's so much excitement going on.
I have no clue, Blake. I am stoked to the max.
Well, you know, I'm full of surprises. And since your birthday was in July, I thought we should play this little tune for you.
Okay.
Yes. It's a long one, BJ.
Oh, my God. You can stop it at any point.
It's your birthday and you're special to me. So I brought some guans from the Outer Guam Zoo. They honk and squawk.
I'm going to take my headphones off so I don't have to hear it.
No, you're missing it. You're missing it. It's great. It's little animals. Okay, just a little bit more.
Open your eyes. Here's a present.
Open your eyes, BJ. Here comes the present.
Oh. I like to keep them closed when I'm about to get a present.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Where's the pickle? That's the surprise.
Hey, holla back at your boy. So you had a birthday. How old did you turn?
I turned 32 years old.
32.
Yes.
It's pretty much downhill from there.
Yeah, it is. It really, I've already started to get downhill. I mean, kidney stones, migraines.
It's all over.
It is. And now it takes almost 15 beers to get me drunk. So life sucks.
Oh, man.
I'm starting to turn into an expensive drunk now.
Uh-oh. Nicole will leave you pretty soon. She can't have none of that expensive drunk stuff.
Yeah, she can't. So.
So.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't know. I you know, I thought that birthday song would just wow you into excitement.
It did, Blake. I seen unicorns and rainbows all throughout my house while I was listening to that. It was great.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Man.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Birthday to you.
Was that John Denver?
No. No, it was not John Denver.
That was gay enough to be John Denver.
No, it wasn't John Denver, but it was pretty close. It was it was a bunch of animals from the barnyard singing.
Nice.
I'm all about like making sure you have good music today.
Well, thank you, Blake.
You are
cheering me up.
I just know all the songs that you like, and so I'm playing as many of them tonight as I possibly can.
Are you about to play another song?
Yes, sir. It's got a long intro. Intro violation. Intro violation.
That's against the verbal contract.
Hello again.
Is that fucking Neil Diamond?
You're damn right it's Neil Diamond.
God damn, hell yes. Play this on all the way through.
Hello.
I just wanted a special moment between us.
I am staring in your eyes right now.
This is like the gayest episode we've ever had. It's only 11.
This is even gayer than the GVTL.
It's only 11 minutes in.
Hello.
I just want to hold you.
Friend. Hello.
Hello, my friend.
Can I hold you?
Yeah, you can hold me, Blake.
Okay.
If Neil Diamond's on, I will submit to any kind of gay torture.
Oh. Okay. Well, you want to hear real music? Well, I mean, not that Neil Diamond isn't real music.
Yeah, I mean, don't insult Neil Diamond. I grew up with Neil Diamond.
I won't. I won't insult him. but we'll get on to some more appropriate music for the show. Yeah. We don't want everybody to start packing fudge by the end of the show. So we're gonna we stepped forward in the fan feedback era. We actually had some people interact with the show, and our good friend Paul from Scotland, you remember him? He used to.
Yes, I do remember Paul.
He won Fan of the Year a couple years ago. And
yes, he did.
Because he sent us a picture of his wedding picture of him in a kilt, and so, you know, he's always going to be a longtime friend. Just for having the balls to do that. So we're going to play a song from Charles Parr and the Black Twig Pickers, and there's controversy. The song is called "There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down," but we're just going to call it "There Ain't No Grave." Right?
That sounds good to me, because I have about 3 versions of this song, and it's like it can be named any of those things, I think.
All right. But. Well, here's some music, and then we'll be back with more non-gayness, hopefully. We should try.
Let's get it on.
We should, yeah. Let's get it on.
Well, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Hear that trumpet sound, you're gonna get up out the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Well, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Hear that trumpet sound, you're gonna get up out the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Walk down to the river, Gabriel, put your foot on the land and sea. Gabriel, don't you blow that trumpet. Hear that trumpet sound. You're gonna get up out the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Sitting at home with my dick on hard, so I got the black.
Hey everybody, do you sit around your house bored on a Friday night, wishing that there was something you could do, someone you could talk to, someone you could drink with? Well, I did for the longest time. And now I have a solution to your problem. It's called the Happy Hour. And it's every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time here at SavingCountryMusicLive.com. I'll be spinning some tunes, we'll be drinking some beers together in the chat. So come bring your party hats and we'll have a good time. That's every Friday night here at Saving Country Music Live.
You can say I'm desperate, even call me perverted. But you say I'm a dog when I leave you fucked and deserted. Your dad'll be disgusted when he sees your pussy busted. Your mom'll be so mad if she knew I got that ass. This trip, aching hearts and lies, how to tear you apart were foes. High in hopeless, lost dreams, and the streets, they all look the same, but the pace. All but changed, that's the bar. On the road, I sit here all alone. And I close down this honky tonk. Lord, I'm falling on my knees. Let me tell you the reason why you should never stay
It's a
be on your best behavior. Welcome back, everybody. This is segment two of It Burns on IP, episode 52. We just got done hearing Closed Down by Speed Buggy USA, which was requested by our good friend Jeff. Right?
Way to go, Jeff. Thank you for giving us a request.
Was it Jeff? We had an argument.
Well, better be Jeff.
We had an argument about this about a minute and a half ago, and we've checked.
It could have been Rick Dirigible.
No, it's Jeff. Jeff. Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Okay. All right, Jeff, thank you very much for sending us a request. And he actually sent me music to play. He's like, look, I know how lazy you are as a podcasting host, so I'll just send you the music. And I was like, you know what? That's the kind of fans I like. So we can't.
We
usually rip our fans for being lazy, but we can't today because
Jeff is not lazy.
He went to all that trouble, and we hope that he enjoyed us playing that song for him.
So Blake, there's been some other things that happened in July.
It's been a feisty month. Oh, the fireworks?
Maybe fireworks. It was another thing that got everybody on Facebook all pissed off.
Oh, I know what it was. It was this eHarmony girl.
Hello, my name is Debbie.
She likes cats.
This is my first attempt.
I really like cats.
Hold on. A eHarmony video.
She has huge
my
boobs.
My first time at online
she
dating.
She does. And I like
so
when she's like playing
nervous,
with them.
Right.
Why is she saying
excited at the same time. So I'm just going to start talking about what I like and hope I get some replies.
All right, we'll pause it. We'll save.
I would so reply to her.
I know. I love her.
Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed, Blake.
You know, and she's got that voice that's like really cute for 5 minutes, and then you want to stomp on her head. But that's not what we're talking about here.
No, that is not what we're talking about. It has become official that in Florida, you can kill your baby.
I like to party. Kill my baby.
Yeah. As long as you look like an imp, like have like big eyes and like weird ears with your hair pulled back way too tight, you can do anything you want to.
Right. And then we're speaking, of course, of Casey Anthony. You know, a girl that has two first names that are both boys' names, you know she's going to be in trouble.
Yeah. And that she didn't know who the baby's father was, and it could have been the brother.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, you didn't know that part.
Now, I knew that her daddy had his mouth on her coochie cooch, or allegedly.
Yeah, I think that whole family just needs to be burnt.
Because that's a good excuse of why you lied about your baby dying is because your dad used to abuse you. You know, hey, we're not making fun of, you know, the passing of the baby. That's a horrible, horrible thing.
No, that's horrible. We're both parents.
Right. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about how stupid this person is to think she and how stupid these jurors were to let this happen.
Yeah, it was truly a travesty. And how do you think Scott Peterson's feeling right now? Right. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He took the wife fishing, she fell overboard, and now he's sitting on death row. Come on, haven't we all been around a pregnant woman before in our lives? Trust me. Every now and again, you just have that feeling like, push her overboard.
But she would have floated. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I think he laughed after. She could only swim for so long.
So this
and that's really horrible.
Right. This teenage girl, basically, she likes to party. How old is she, 20-something now?
Yeah, I think.
She likes to party. And she probably liked a rock star, and she had got impregnated by a male of some kind at some point.
It would have to be a male.
Right. Well, I don't know how people in Florida work, but but so she has this baby, and it cuts into her
party time.
Party time. And so then mysteriously the baby disappears.
And for a month she was telling the cops that the babysitter took her where there was no babysitter. And she continued to party the whole month that she said her baby was taken.
And she got a tattoo during that month.
Did she get a tattoo?
She got a tattoo. It said something like, I don't know, something like, it was some Italian.
Was it a tramp stamp?
No, well, probably. I don't know. She wouldn't let me look. The bailiff wouldn't let me look at it.
The bailiff wouldn't let you look at it.
But
nice.
I just, you know what? I have lost, and people can say that this show is horrible. People can say that what we talk about on this show is horrible, but you know what? We have never, in 4 years, we have never hurt nobody.
Yeah, we haven't, and we may say horrible, horrible things, but do we really mean half of it?
Right, because I know you're not going to put your finger in my asshole. I mean, I know you're not going to, but just because we say it doesn't mean we're going to do it.
And it's not like I have ever, like, wanted to take Nicole fishing and push her off a boat. I mean...
So you said.
Okay, maybe I've wanted to, but I never did it.
Oh,
I'm a horrible, horrible person, Blake.
But this kind of goes into what I think we should talk about next. I think there should be this is like the Burns and IP version of pre-certification to have a baby, because that's the problem. You know, you watch MTV and they kind of glorify all these teenagers having babies because they get on this show. You know, and then these party girls get pregnant. So I thought to myself, you know, there's, you know, because we usually stay away from hard edged, you know, topics,
but social issues.
But I thought, you know, let's just go for it. You know, we've already pissed everybody off, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, we took care of that a long time ago.
There needs to be some IBWIP standards set in this country about who can and who cannot have a kid.
Right. Everybody can, you know, get it on.
Right.
Everybody can. We don't care. But there should be some prerequisites to having a child.
First one, age. You should not be able to be impregnated until you're at least 25.
Ooh, see, I already broke that one.
Well, I'm not saying we. I mean, I was 21, so I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
We're just talking about the new standards, not the standards we've had.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I totally agree with that.
It's one of those do as
you. If my kids have a kid before they're 25, I'm kicking their ass.
Right. Because by 25, you should have gotten 90% of your partying out of you. You know, for the most part, you should have a stable job. So,
right.
That's prerequisite number two. Have a stable job. You have to have work somewhere for above minimum wage for at least a year.
I would agree with that also.
So
that
I don't have to pay for your apartment. I don't have to, you know, I'm trying to help everybody. So that's two.
These are very good rules.
And you know, I'm thinking about running for president.
You should, Blake.
I think so.
But the thing is, they look at all your records. I mean, like, everything. Even, like, your internet traffic.
Oh, my.
So the Asian porn may not look very good on your...
Tell me a politician who has not watched Asian porn. I'm fine.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, it never comes out with them for some reason. But if we tried to run, it would. They protect one another.
Is there any prerequisites you think that a female should have? I guess we're kind of picking on females here, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, I would say if you have a homemade love tattoo on your forearm, you should not be able to have a kid.
If you do not spend at least $75 to have a tattoo professionally done, you cannot have a kid.
Right. And, I mean, I know plenty of people that have those tattoos, so I'm sorry, but this is the new rule, so you guys are
right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're automatically we let you go if it's before July 30th of 2011, you're fine. After that, under the new laws of IBWIP, you know, and we got to say, it's not just the women need to have a job, not to be 25. The guys do too.
Right.
But you don't
I totally agree.
But you don't really see the guys killing the babies more than the moms killing the babies.
Well, I mean, when guys do it, they usually kill the mom and the kids. They right. go totally insane. You know what I mean? Like, it just happened, like, here recently. A guy killed his whole family and then killed himself. And it's when guys go nuts big time. When like, party girls want to go nuts, they just, you know, smother their kid and throw him in the trunk for a while.
And you know, of the 35 or 40 guys that probably slept with this girl, like, in that month, you know, when she was out partying after, like, what do you think they think of themselves now? They got to be looking at her, you know, and going, oh, my God, like, that is the ultimate worst, like, that's a bad
day. You know, but most of the guys she was probably picking up were those douchebags with way too much gel in her hair anyway.
They had the hats on sideways?
Yeah, like the Guidos is what you used to call them.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Did I just make fun of Jersey Shore?
Schnooky.
Yeah.
This girl should have been on Jersey Shore. This girl right here.
So she should have. I am a recent MBA grad from Villanova.
MBA. She played in the National Basketball Association.
I don't think that's what MBA stands for.
I love.
If you watch this video, it's kind of sexy the way she said that.
I just.
Oh, God, here it comes.
Sorry, I'm getting emotional. I love cats. I love every kind of cat.
I'd love her cat.
I know.
Sorry. I really love cats.
I want to get a hold of this girl.
I want to hug all of them, but I can't because that's crazy. I can't hug every cat.
I hate to break your heart here on this one, Blake.
I'm sorry. I'm
sorry. I can't stop it.
That's fine.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I hate to break your day, but I heard she's a professional comedian.
Oh.
And that whole thing's fake. I mean, I don't know that for sure. That's the internet chatter. But regardless, I would still hit that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't care if she's acting at all. I'd say, hey, act like that while we're doing it, and we're fine.
I'd be like, yeah, exactly. I'd be like, hey, you know that one role you played? Play that for me again. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. There is another one. What? Okay. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
I think I know what you're going to play, and I definitely say let's do it, Blake.
Are you saying yes to it?
I am saying yes, a wholehearted yes.
Okay, hold on. I got to get it because I'm having some issues here. So
because I'm an equal opportunity layer, I think.
I'm trying to get out of here. I'm trying to get this to where it will work, and it's not letting me. So maybe we should just put a tack in this and hope nobody else steals it from us.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just do that.
Yeah. Okay. We better do that because there's been a lot of thievery.
So if you are going to have a baby, please be 25 years of age, have a job for over a year that pays more than minimum wage, no homemade tattoos, and just don't have sex.
Well, you can have sex. Just make sure you're loaded down on a pill, the sponge.
Take two of them.
Spermicidal jelly.
Yeah, take two pills a day if you have to. Take two.
Just make sure your ass don't breed.
Right.
And if you've ever had sex with your brother willingly, yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about molestation.
You're talking you're kind of cute, bro.
Yeah, if you actually have those thoughts like, hey, my brother's kind of hot. Nope, never have a kid.
Not going to do it.
Yep.
Well, now that we've probably insulted and pissed people off, we want to let them know
especially in West Virginia.
Yes. We want to definitely give them the opportunity to contact us. And the dial-in number is 206-339-8419. We have not had a voicemail in a long time. The rule has been steadfast for 4 years. If you send it, I will play it. Again, it's 206-339-8419. I do believe you used to call that, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, we did call it a few times, yes.
Yes, and it didn't cost you anything extra or anything like that, so.
I don't know. I never look at my phone bill.
Okay. You also can go to our Facebook page, just search IBWIP, and you can tell us how wonderful or horrible we are. And if you want to email us, you can email us at AmishBJ, that's AmishBJ, at IBWIP.com, as well as Blake at IBWIP.com. You want to check us out on iTunes? Search It Burns When IP. Don't search IBWIP. Search It Burns When IP. Don't be lazy. Just type the whole thing out. And give us a rating. Again, anything, any kind of rating is better than no rating at all. And, of course, you're listening to us, so you're either listening to us on IBWIP.com or Section86.com. Feel free to download the show. Keep it for a rainy day, or if it's 150 fucking degrees outside and you can't move.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the more likely in this deal here.
You know, and we were talking about how July has just been, there's been so much stuff going on, and, like, me and you were just chomping at the bit to do this show because there were so many things to talk about. And, you know, I kind of brought something up, and I think you kind of shrugged at me, but, you know, there was a huge soccer tournament that happened.
Right, and I'm very, very, very big into soccer.
Oh, really?
I'm one of the, yeah, I played for, since I've been 4 years old, I think, all the way through high school. My kids play soccer. I am a fan of soccer. I am probably the only American that sits up and watches a soccer game. And you know what? I didn't watch the Women's World Cup at all.
Is that because they're women?
No, it's because, well, first off, I don't pay for cable during the summer because what a waste of money. And second, yeah, because they're women.
Right. Now, you know,
it's boring.
And here's my thing is, you know, I played soccer, you know, my son played soccer for a year. I just never got into it. So, but I have nothing against soccer players, you know, but I just, you know, women's soccer, I think, you know, the guys' soccer, they fight so much for respect and everything. The girls' soccer, they're kind of like just that their back's against the wall. You know what I mean?
See, the thing though with women's soccer, especially in America, the women's soccer team is actually good. The men's soccer team, when we played the World Cup last year, we only got into the semifinals. The women went all the way to the finals and have won the World Cup a couple times. But they also, like, how many teams really is there? You don't play against any, like, Arab teams because the women can't wear the full frickin'. That would be funny, right, though, if they see a bunch of women running around with those black ghost outfits on.
That's funny.
But I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going off on a whim here again.
So, but the ladies, you know, they didn't win the World Cup. I don't know. If you're not first, you're last in Ricky Bobby's eyes. So, to me, they got last place.
Shake and bake.
So, let's go ahead, move along. I think we've pissed enough people off. Not that we're trying to.
Yeah.
Not that we're trying to. We're not advocating killing your kid. We're not advocating having sex with your sister, brother. We're just advocating that you take care of your responsibilities.
Kid.
Yeah. By not having one. Just wait.
Yeah.
I would have been
Abstinence is great.
Hey, I'm 37 years old. Abstinence is great on my hand.
Mutton's better than nothing.
Right. Get your dog.
I mean, no, don't fuck sheep.
Take your dog on a date. Who cares?
Yeah.
All right. We got with the next the interview with Lester T. Raw from the Pine Box Boys. And again, I just want to tell everybody that this is one of the best interviews that we've had. Lester is a great guy, and we've wanted to have him on the show for a long time, and just stuff happened. But their new album, Tales from the Emancipated Head, recently came out, and I thought it was a perfect opportunity. So here is, from Tales from the Emancipated Head, the new album from the Pine Box Boys, a song called Live Brains, and then the interview. We'll be right back. Say goodbye, BJ.
Goodbye, BJ.
That's what she said.
Woke this morning, feeling
Folks, welcome back to episode 52 of It Burns When I Pee, and we have with us a very special guest. We've wanted to have this guy on for a long time. It's Lester T. Raw from the Pine Box Boys. Lester, thank you for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
So we just got done hearing Lab Brains, and that's from your guys' fourth release, which is Tales from the
Emancipated Head. And can I thank you for playing that song?
No problem.
That has got to be one of the most misunderstood songs on the new album.
How so?
Look, I was just talking to a good buddy of mine, a guy who used to be the sound man for my old band back in Arkansas. He went on the road with us. I played in his band, Reagan's Polyp, for a long time, and he was just like, "Well, that's just kind of a funny song, isn't it?" And I'm like, "Just a funny song? What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, it's just kind of like a novelty song, isn't it?" And I'm like, "You never saw Return of the Living Dead, did you?" And he had to confess he had not ever seen Return of the Living Dead, Dan O'Bannon, director, and I believe co-writer on the film. And I point out to him one of the lines towards the end of the film, the zombie Freddy is about to devour his living girlfriend, Tina. And he says to her, he says, "I've just realized that one thing and one thing only can relieve this world of suffering." And she says in her little Tina voice, "What, Freddy? What?" And he says, "Live brains." And then he busts through the door, and then the Air Force nukes Knoxville. And, you know, as far as I was concerned, at about 16, 17, when that movie came out, I saw that in the theater, my little brain went kaboom. And I was like, "Oh my God, that's the most meaningful phrase I've ever heard muttered in a movie."
Awesome.
And, to this day, you know, I always knew. I was like, "I'm going to write a song about that." And I waited till the fourth Pine Box Boy album to get that line out, but.
But now we have it, and we played it on IBWIP.
So. Thank you, guys. Y'all are good folk. Y'all are good folk.
Thank you very much. So tell us a little bit about the new album and kind of where the idea came about and what can fans kind of expect from the new album.
Okay, I'll tell you. We had been rehearsing. I had written songs for an entirely other album, and we had rehearsed an entirely other album. And we went and played the Ink and Iron Festival a couple of times out there in Long Beach, and I kind of felt like, this isn't intended to be insulting. I just felt as though the album that we had been rehearsing and recording was a little too heady. I don't want to say too intellectual, but maybe a little too heady. And I thought, you know what? Scale it back. Why don't you go for the guts? And that phrase, literally, "go for the guts," stuck in my brain. I was like, "Man, just make a horror album." "What's up, Eric?" I said, "Just make a horror album." I said, you know, forget trying to be all literate and, you know, English teachery on this one, and I said, "Just go ahead and stick with what works, you know, go for the gore, go for the guts." And that's how Tales from the Emancipated Head was born. We pulled songs that we've been playing for years, plus I wrote a bunch of new ones for the album, but they were all based around either reactions I had to horror films, or specifically, well, then, like, with Live Brain, specifically, you know, certain horror films, such as Return of the Living Dead, or Frankenstein, or Bride of Frankenstein. There's references to a lot of those in there.
Sure.
And I wanted to make a horror album, and that's what happened.
Awesome. So, you know, to me, you're like the king of the murder ballads. And, you know, what attracts you most to writing murder ballads, you know, but with that bluegrass feel?
Oh, dude, you know what? My mama used to sing me those old murder ballads when I was growing up, you know. She grew up with those songs, things like Knoxville Girl or Skin and Bones Lady, which, by the way, is the a cappella number I sing on our very first album. And these are what she used to sing me to sleep at night, you know, with just, you know, these old murder ballads that she had heard growing up. So, you know, I kind of got into that whole thing, and, you know, there was a weird feeling of security when Mom would sing those songs to me to sleep. So that's why I grew up sort of as a horror fan, because the movies didn't really scare me. They, in a weird way, kind of provided me with a sense of security. And in a weird way, I kind of hope that this album, you know, provides folks with the same sense of security I felt. Now, listening back to it, I realize it does not accomplish that at all. It's just a disturbing little album. But I was shooting for that same sense of security I used to feel when my mama would sing those old murder ballads.
So how long have the Pine Box Boys been together?
Oh, let's see. I think, and I'm, oh man, these guys are going to fuss at me. I think we kind of started playing with some of those musicians. Well, I mean, the bass player and I go back. I mean, we're playing punk music together. And then the drummer and the bass player and I were playing sort of weird avant-garde noise music. And we were doing that to silent films like Nosferatu, The Man Who Laughs, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. And we were doing those in San Francisco. We would, you know, show the film and we would play like weird music on top of that. Somewhere in there, we started playing some bluegrass. Like if we didn't want to go down to the practice house, I'd be like, well, let's go over to the drummer's house and I'll show you guys some songs. And I would teach them these old bluegrass tunes. And then they were kind of like, well, why don't you write one? And that was sort of how the Pine Box Boys got born. So somewhere around 2002, 2003.
Okay. And where did the name originate? How did you guys come up with the Pine Box Boys?
My granddaddy used to make the pine boxes for people in his county. You know, I mean, back in his day, you didn't go to an undertaker. You know, somebody died. Somebody in your community built the coffin, built the pine box for you. You know, folks there, you know, and this is in Florence, Alabama. This is, you know, man, people didn't have money to buy a coffin. You didn't pay an undertaker for that kind of stuff. You know, undertakers are rip-off artists. If you listen to our third album, Child of Calamity, there's a song on there called The Undertaker's Prayer, where I address that subject specifically. And, you know, my granddaddy used to do it for folks for free. So it was in reference to what he used to do. You know, it was like, here's a generous gift to those who are dying. And that's kind of how we view the Pine Box Boys. Here's a generous gift to you folks who are dying. Because ain't we all?
Sure. Each day, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're not out there being a Pine Box Boy, what other hobbies or interests do you have?
I am an amateur magician, and I am terrible. I'm terrible. However, I do it with much gusto, and you know, I'm a deep fan of Roberto Giobbe, and you know, I do study my sleight of hand as hard as I can. However, I'm never going to put, you know, Teller or John Armstrong or Aaron Fisher or Jonathan Levitt. I'm never going to put these guys out of work. You know, they don't have to worry about me showing up at the Magic Castle and they're not having a gig. But I do it with love, and so that's what I do. And for money, quite frankly, I'm a high school teacher.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
quite frankly, it pays better than doing bluegrass songs about murder.
That's weird. And you get summers off, right?
Well, and I do get my summers off, yes. I've been trying to convince our district to move to a year-round calendar because that would give me more time throughout the year that I could go out and tour. As it is, I'm kind of limited to what sort of vacation time and what sort of personal time I save up.
Sure. And that kind of led me to another question that I had was, you know, how often do the Pine Box Boys tour and, you know, where do you guys usually, what areas do you guys usually play?
Look, we used to do cross country. You know, we would go anywhere. If you could guarantee us a couple hundred bucks, a place to sleep, a meal, we would show up. And that worked for a while, but you know, you'd go out on the road, and I know that other bands that might be listening to this, they appreciate exactly what I'm talking about. You come home and you still don't have two nickels to rub together.
Right.
And so we stopped doing that. We still go to Europe. Because And this is sad to say, but Europe treats musicians better.
Oh, and I've heard that
than the States does.
I've heard that from a lot of the artists that you know that you know if you can get the money to go over there, you're gonna make a killing, and you're gonna be.
But when we go over there, our tickets are paid for. We get paid to go over there. We get paid well once we get there. We get meals, drink tickets. They don't know about drink tickets there. They're like, you're thirsty? Tell me, I'll give you another beer. I mean, that's how it works over there. Sure. And they buy the merch.
Wow.
Oh my God, do they buy merch? So you know, we love going over to Europe, and in fact, some of my dearest friends, you know, are somewhere between Belgium and Holland, and love going over there, you know. And we usually try to get there, I'd say annually. Mm-hmm. If we can't get there on a yearly basis, because we did miss a tour about a year ago, but we went back there in April. We're probably going back there in April again next year, you know. So we'll do that. As far as the States go, because that's the thing, I do not mean to discount my fans here in the States, we're kind of on an on-demand basis. Mm-hmm. If you want us, well, you kind of got to pay to get us there.
Right, right.
And I think more bands should adopt that attitude. For a long time, it has been that the clubs, they control. And the fact is, you know, you look out there and you see how many crappy bands are out there playing. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, there are good bands out there, but there are a lot more lousy bands out there that don't deserve to be taking time away from good bands.
Sure.
So we're not willing to go to a place if they can't pony up the cash.
Sure.
I know it sounds a little, you know, mercenary, but it's not that way at all. I mean, the fact is that we've all got lives.
Sure.
And we're like, look, man, it's, you know, this is,
reality.
It's just the same thing. Yeah, it's reality. It's, you know, the market, you know, whatever the market will bear. So we do tend to stick along the West Coast. That being said, you know, we've been talking to some people out in the Midwest that want us to have us come out there. We've been, you know, folks want us out for Bike Week in Florida. You know, we'll go do those things. I mean, we are totally available, but we have to work out some logistics first.
Definitely. So, and you know, this leads to another question. You know, the band is really kind of known for their live performances, you know, and fans say that
you're so good live.
You what?
We're so good live. I mean, if you've heard the albums, that's one thing. If you've heard us live, it's entirely other. I have the best drummer in the United States, and I mean it. I'm not kidding when I say that I have the best drummer in the United States. It used to be the best drummer to me was Keith Moon. Well, I think I have bested Keith Moon in what I have with your uncle, Stephen Dodds.
So what do you think? I mean, how do you think it's just your guys' playing, or do you think it's just how is it that the fans get so captivated seeing you live? Is it the magic?
There's a synergy going there. When you get an audience there and there's a mix of people who know the songs, because there are, wherever we go, there's definitely an audience that already knows the music. When they get to hear the songs that they know, and they get to hear them played live, and they get to hear my drummer back there. And by the way, I mean, just because I mentioned the drummer, I mean, the rest of us, we're not slouches. I mean, we do tear it up. We give a great live show. So we make it worthwhile for folks when we do go out and play live. The only ways that we have to show it, I mean, we have this live series, Hootin' and Hollerin'.
Sure.
However, we've only made available volume 2, and our good friend, Dr. Astronaut Body, made a movie of us playing live. And it's a show there in San Francisco. And there are other things you can find of us online, you know, playing. But really, if you want us, you need to go tell your club, your local club, man, you need to get these guys.
Right. Definitely.
And we do not. We don't short stroke, we don't half step. I mean, you know, when we show up, we're there to play. I don't care where I am, I will play, you know, from the heart, and so will my drummer. Oh man, I'm telling you, he is the best.
So do you find that you're more inspired by other music or literature or you know, possibly films, you know, what other forms of media, what inspires you the most when you're writing?
Column A, column B, column C. I mean, I grew up, my daddy was a big fan of course, Merle Haggard and Buck Owens, because he was from Bakersfield. But my mom, being from Alabama, you know, I grew up with her taste, so that was the bluegrass side of it. So that was, you know, I mean, that was certainly the music I grew up with. But as a young boy, yeah, you know what? I got into Flannery O'Connor. I got into Melville. I got into William Faulkner, you know, and so, yeah, literature feeds into it. And when I was 13 years old, my favorite movie was Creepshow. Well, my second favorite movie was Creepshow. I still, if I'm making a top 10 list, George Romero is taking probably at least 3 slots out of there. So, you know, so I was a fan of, a lot of horror when I was growing up. So it's a mixture. It's definitely film, literature, and the music I grew up with. I don't differentiate. I mean, if something inspires you, it inspires you, right?
Definitely. So what do you guys have planned for the rest of the summer?
Okay, so this is cool. All right, so Dodge is flying back in. We've got, we're opening up for David Allen Coe. We got that show coming up, and then we've got another show in Sacramento. But mainly what we're doing when we get him in town is we're going back into the studio. We are recording our Christmas card.
Okay.
for our fans.
Awesome.
These are not Christmas songs that you will play to get your children happy and excited. These are some very, very messed up little Christmas songs that I've written. And so what'll happen, and it'll probably be available around the 1st of November, you'll be able to order either just order the Christmas card for yourself or order a box of Christmas cards. Each one of them comes with a different download code.
Okay.
Cool. All of them for the same songs.
Awesome.
And there'll be 3 songs available. And so you get to, you know, you get the Christmas card. Our Tata Falar, who besides inking tattoo on my body and doing all of the album covers for the Pine Box Boys, she is also doing the Christmas card. So it's going to be definitely some of her beautiful artwork. These will be suitable. These Christmas cards will be suitable for framing, but they will also come with a download code. So, you know, you get the card, and if you want, you send it to your friends also, or you order the box and you get the Christmas cards and you send them out yourself. Either way, you send people not only a Christmas card, but you send them 3 very, very strange Christmas tunes.
That's awesome. That's one of the coolest ideas I've ever heard. That's super cool.
So, thank you. I thought so, too. It didn't take me long to sell the boys on it. They were like, you know what? I think that'll work. You know?
Exactly.
If we can't go out on the road all the time, and we would love to be out on the road more, but let's face it, you know, I mean, only Brittany and her ilk,
sure,
can go out there and be on the road constantly. You know what? We have to make things available to people online.
Sure.
They have to be able to come and get songs when they want to hear them, and we got to have new stuff for them online. And that's what we want to do. We want to serve the fans that way.
Definitely. So, speaking of going online, where can folks go to buy Pine Box Boys merchandise and music?
God, you are the best. You are the best. You're just setting me up to plug my own shit.
I'm serving them up.
www.pineboxboys.com.
Awesome.
It's that simple. T-shirts, stickers, posters, DVDs, CDs, whatever you want. They're going to be available there. And like I said, you know, starting in November, you'll be able to order the Christmas cards.
Awesome. Lester, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I'm sorry it took me 4 years to get you on the show.
Are you kidding me?
Kick myself 100 times.
I'm delighted. Thank you for calling me. So, I know you guys are busy. You've got a lot of music to cover. There's a lot out there.
There's a lot of great music out there, and we try to.
Y'all are good at covering it too.
That's what it's all about. So we're gonna play 2 more Pine Box Boys songs. 2 of my favorites.
We're gonna
play "Just a Crush" from Arkansas Killing Time.
Right on. And, yeah, kicking old school, man. Yeah, hit the first album. That's what I'm talking about.
And we're also going to play I Got Excited, because every time I hear that song, I get excited. maybe for the wrong reasons.
Thank you. We don't do that one live anymore. I ought to put that one back into the set.
There you go. All right, Lester. Well, you have a good night. Thank you very much, and it was an honor.
No, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. You take care of yourself.
Likewise.
Hush, my baby, hush. This ain't love, it's just a crush. And pray, my baby, pray. Hope to God he goes away. And cry, my baby, cry. Anything is worth a try. But hush, my baby, hush. If he hears you scream, he gets a rush. His dogs are running all around. I figure they're inbred. They're all crooked, they're all wicked. And I don't think they've been fed. And his neighbors would feel better if they chained him up instead. He's got a Chevy in the backyard, built in 1964. Body still looks pretty good, but it don't run no more. And there's still blood in the backseat, in them shoes that hooker wore. So hush, my baby, hush. This ain't love, it's just a crush. Pray, my baby, pray. Hope to God he goes away. And cry, my baby, cry. Anything is worth a try. But hush, my baby, hush. If he hears you scream, he gets a rush. He lived up in that shack. He never had no name. A roof that needed patching were nothing in the rain. He kept a sickle by the front door. He said he used for cutting cane. And he grew up on the mountains where all them folks are poor. And then there were the rumors about what he did behind them doors. He never knew his daddy. He went to jail for killing whores. So hush, my baby, hush. This ain't love, it's just a crush. And pray, my baby, pray. Hope to God he goes away. And cry, my baby, cry. Anything is worth a try. But hush, my baby, hush. If he hears you scream, he gets a rush.
something keeps a tapping on the window over there. The wind is blowing colder, we should learn longer prayer. And as I dream about the girl I left down in Willow Grove, the kettle starts to whistle on the stove. I put my knife on it, I got excited, somebody stop me, I want to bite it. God help me, Satan hide me, dig another hole in the ground, and hang me for hanging around. Well, you may think me wicked, but I'm not the only guy. You know there's plenty in this bar here done worse things than I. Consider in the past of that girl you're hitting on. You better get your pistol out of pawn. I put my knife on it, I got excited, somebody stop me, I want to bite it. God help this ain't behind me, dig another hole in the ground and hang me for hanging around. I'll beg the mercy of the Lord. Yeah, but every single thing I've done, I did when I was bored. So let the wind take the skins, let the sun bleach the bones, let the river wash the blood off of the stones. I put my knife on it, I got excited, somebody stop me, I want to bite it. God help me, Satan behind me, dig another hole in the ground and hang me for hanging around. Yeah, and hang me for hanging around.
Okay.
Let me know.
Okay.
This isn't in my verbal contract. Like, okay. All this pussyfooting around is not in my verbal contract.
You sons of bitches, just do the show.
All right, folks, welcome back. You just heard I Got Excited from the Pine Box Boys.
And again, thank you, Lester, for being on the show. I'm sorry if you know, after you listen to the show, you're like, God, why did I do this show?
These guys are douchebags.
These guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about. First, I hear Neil Diamond. Then they're talking about baby killers. Then they play my music.
Yeah. It would be an insult.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to. We love the Pine Box Boys. So I hope he doesn't take it the wrong way.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Pine Box Boys are awesome.
We don't know what we're talking about till 2 or 3 days before we do the show. So.
Yep.
And we're a couple of fucktards. So it's all good. But these two fucktards are going to be at Muddy Roots, and we've been talking about it. It's getting closer. I mean, it's getting so close, I can taste it.
Yeah, when this show debuts, it will be 5 weeks away.
It's going to be orgasmic. I can't wait. But for those losers out there who are not going or who have not signed up or who are not said, hey, I'm going to be at Camp Krusty, we might not even let you in.
That is very, very true. We are going to have strict borders at Camp Krusty. And we are not letting douchebags, thieves, and others in. Yeah, others. We'll just say others.
We're going to dig a moat.
A gopher moat.
But so the Camp Krusty t-shirts have been ordered, correct?
Yes, they have, and they are going to print tomorrow.
And so are you going to be mailing them out before Muddy Roots, or are you going to hand them out at Muddy Roots?
It depends. If we pick them up on Friday, I believe we are going to be mailing them out on probably Monday, because I ship for free from my work. But don't tell the owners of the company.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, but I ship from free for work.
I'll just put some kind of noise in front of that on top of that so nobody heard it.
So if anybody ordered a Camp Krusty shirt and gets a package from Niche Electronics, it's me.
It's not a bomb.
Yeah, it is not a bomb. Well, it could be a bomb. A love bomb.
So we got the Camp Krusty shirts. We and if you folks have are that are going to Muddy Roots or just listening to us for the first time or going to Muddy Roots, first of all, I don't know why it's taking you so long to listen to us, but you know, go over to the Facebook page, the Camp Krusty Facebook page, and get in there and get talking, because we're not going to save you any room, and if you don't tell us about you coming.
And Camp Krusty is going to be the coolest camp there.
Yes. And
by far. We're going to have Germans. We're going to have Canadians. We're a multinational love fest at Camp Krusty. Speaking of love fest, what's your girlfriend doing, Blake?
Hey, quiet now. What do you mean, women?
Sorry.
Quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're not supposed to talk about personal stuff on the show.
Oh. Hey.
What?
It's not rape if you yell surprise first.
So
you hear surprise in the middle of the night, duct tape going over your mouth, Blake.
Well, because we did have that discussion the other night on Facebook about some swappage.
Yes, we did.
So you never know.
I am a sick, sick bastard.
At Camp Krusty, anything can happen. And that's why if you're not checking out the Facebook page for Camp Krusty and you're not getting your name in there and you're not getting your spot, you're going to miss out.
Yeah, you're going to be left high and dry, and we don't want anything to do with you.
We got, like I said, we got three countries, at least just three countries. Well, California is its own country, so that's four countries that we're going to have represented at Camp Krusty.
Right, and many different nationalities even, or not nationalities, but races of people. I mean, the Amish count as their own race. Right. I mean, come on.
We're letting a Canadian stay with us.
Yeah, a French Canadian, nonetheless.
Oh, so.
Oh, the worst kind of Canadians.
But that's.
Sorry, Pags.
But we're letting them in. We're letting them in, but it's going to be a good time. So, again, if you haven't, because we got maps of where we're trying to think about going. We're trying to get everything squared away, how much room we're going to need. So, if you're wanting to hang out at Camp Krusty, which you should, definitely come over to the page and check it out, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Right on.
Right on. Next.
Next.
That was a good segue. As I shuffle the paper.
I think you should read fan feedback, Blake.
Fan feedback? Well, you skipped something.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Okay, do that.
Hey,
shit, I screwed it all up.
Four episodes, buddy. Four episodes is all you got left.
That's in my verbal contract. You know, we got these jokes just on running throughout the episodes, and nobody knows what they are.
You know what,
only we amuse ourselves with them.
Yeah, and that's like we kind of only do the show to entertain ourselves. Like, most people that from the outside that listen to the show, at the end of it, they're like, what were they fucking laughing about the whole time? But you know what?
They still, usually by the end of the show, end up laughing at something we say that's an inside joke. But they think it's funny anyway, right. Even though they don't know the whole story behind
it. Right. Because
just the way it goes.
Because once you listen to an episode of A Burns and IP, you become cockstrong.
You do. I have been cockstrong a lot as of late.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yes.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. So anyway, do you want to talk about Peter or no?
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about Peter.
I had a little heat from a couple of the fans of why we haven't sent Peter out yet. And if for anybody that hasn't listened to the show, again, don't know why, but Peter is Cocker's gay cousin. And
homophobes.
Right. And we haven't sent him out yet because I need at least 10 people to sign up to have him come visit before I'll do it. And we only have two.
Yeah.
So if you are willing to have a gay rooster come and stay at your house, take a few pictures, and then mail him off to the next person, it's going to cost you a total of like $6 probably total once you know, that's all we need to do. Send us an email with your address. Tell us that you're interested when we get 10 people. And I... excuse me. Pardon me, that's unprofessional.
No, it's fine, Blake. It's okay.
Oh, thanks.
Are you okay?
I'll be okay.
Okay.
We want to start him out at Muddy Roots. And
oh,
yes, Tawny and Derek are willing to take him on the plane back to California, but we need to get 10 people, 8 more people signed up. And I just,
the TSA may not like a cock being in somebody's bag. They may have to put that on their, in their stowaway luggage.
I want to see what happens. I want to see if they can get him on the plane, because if they get him on the plane, I want them to take a picture of him like sitting on the plane in their lap. So I need.
We should get him a strap on to wear.
I just like get a cut, like a Q-tip, and just cut off one end of it. So if you want to try, you know, this is fun. If anybody knows, we did Cocker was awesome until he was abducted by, we don't know, he's still missing, he's been abducted. His gay cousin Peter wants to go out and try to find him. So if you want him, send us your address. We're not going to come to your fucking house. We're just going to send a fucking rooster to your house. So
also, if you are the one that has Cocker and you come to Muddy Roots, if you leave him at either me or Blake's tent, like, and we open our tent that morning and there's Cocker sitting there, not another word will ever be said.
Oh yeah, no questions asked. We just want him returned unharmed.
Right. I mean, if you've been holding the cock against his will for all this time, we will gladly take possession of him back. Not a word said.
Yeah. I mean, you can just walk up to the camp and say, "Hey, I found this." We won't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll say thanks.
Well, maybe. Actually, yeah. So if you do have him and you are going to Muddy Roots, please bring him back. Like I said, he disappeared somewhere between Kentucky and Chicago. So we've yet to find out. And, you know, I'm not going to announce who we're going to have on the next show, but somebody that we're going to have on the next show was involved with the last sighting. So we're going to hopefully get some more clues.
Ooh.
Yes, but I can't say anymore.
My senses are tingling right now. I'm in suspense.
Your spider senses?
Yes.
Yes.
I do my spidey senses.
I have cock strong ox senses. This is. So, okay. So, Peter, sign up for him. Email me your address.
Yes.
Do it. 8 more people. Quick. We got to do it.
Hey, are me and you counting as those two, or is there two other people?
It's just two other people, not us.
Okay, because I'll take Peter, you know.
Okay, so
I didn't think I had to sign up for it. Jesus Christ, Blake. I think somebody needs some Nicorette or
hold on.
The patch.
Just a second, because I'm having a little problem. So here's some musical enjoyment.
My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what, I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped.
It's hard
when I talk, but my vagina ain't handicapped.
It's handicapped.
You know what that reminds me of? A Hank 3 song. It just repeats itself over and over and over.
I don't keep it real, you know, but I'll keep it real.
More talent.
Gucci said I'm walking in their heels. My links don't work, to be honest, what's the deal? But I still spread the goodies, talking nonsense with my squeals.
Yeah!
What a cop that feels, this will be hard to talk. Not only offer great sex, but
she offers great sex.
I'm handy and got swag, so you know this start is hot. Plus, I got a crew of creamies. My nurse is known to target shots, so.
Her nurse is one of her crew.
Oh,
God.
Oh. I love that chick.
You know what? I tried to get her on the show. And surprisingly, she refused. I don't know why.
Really? She refused?
Nobody wants to be on our show anymore. Why is that? Have we gone too far?
Did you let her listen to a couple episodes?
No, I just sent her a message. I don't think she even got it, probably. But if she ever wants to come back, if she wants to come on, I'm not gonna make fun of her. I'm like, to me, like, it takes balls to do this.
Fuck yeah, yeah. She's my hero.
I'm not dissing her at all.
Put me on the track and I'll finish the race. As long as I read a dirt road or a snake in my way, I just a thug ass nigger that's pretty simple and plain.
She says
she's a fine ass nigger.
I thought she said a thug ass nigger, but she's Mexican. So I don't.
Yeah, I know. How can she say that? We can't.
That's like Eminem saying I'm a hardcore Negro. You know? I mean,
yeah, yeah. We get sliced if we said something
right,
like that.
Right. Right. We get shanked. That's what they call it.
Right. We even repeated her, and we still may get shanked.
Right. Just because we, you know, auditorially verbalized.
Yes.
Hold on a minute. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Okay. How about we read fan feedback?
Okay.
Because we have fan feedback for once. This is great.
Yay, fan feedback.
And one of them's long.
Yay. Really?
Okay.
Yay.
My microphone ain't handicapped. It ain't handicapped. My microphone ain't handicapped. But my throat.
Blake's voice is handicapped.
Right, but my throat is. All right, this one says, hey, fuckface, I love your show and was wondering if you could play some Speed Buggy USA close down, which we did. You and BJ keep up the good work, you gay homos. As long as there's guys like y'all, there'll be restraining orders. Oh yeah, you breathe like a sex offender, Blake.
Yes.
Nice. Thank you, Jeff. That's
you
cool.
You are like an obscene phone call.
Am I?
Yeah.
A lot of girls say I have a sexy voice, but really they just like obscene phone calls.
Right.
Mm.
Thank you, Jeff, for sending fad feedback. Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Now, oh, and you know how you said I kind of have like a sex, you know, like a phone sex guy's voice? Quick story for you, and this is true, I swear to God. So my mom works at this office, and I joke with the girls in the office, you know, when I go in there. You know me, I'm a kind of a comedian sort of guy.
Right.
So I always joke with this one lady. We joke around and stuff. So one time, last couple weeks ago, she got a call, and you know, she said, blah blah blah, how can I help you? And he's like, what are you wearing? And so like so she's like, pardon me? He's like, I think you have a really pretty voice, what are you wearing? And she's like, well, what are you wearing? He's like, I'm not wearing anything. And then she goes, is this Blake? she gets an obscene phone call,
and she immediately thinks it's you.
Yes. And I was like, I don't know whether to be offended or not.
I'd be proud of that.
I kind of was. That's kind of me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got some more fan feedback. This one's kind of long. I do have difficulty reading text, so bear with me. Okay. As always, hi, Blake and BJ. Hi.
Hi.
As always, you pumped out another hilarious show with awesome music. So you guys want some serious fan feedback instead of the usual ego stroking that you usually get? Yeah, yeah, okay. So this was this is gonna be serious. So let's not fuck around here. Okay. Was that the message that I got from episode 51? Hey, if that's the message you got, that's the message we were trying to deliver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
Well, all right. I think I can oblige you, good sirs. Look at that. That guy's nice.
Yeah, we're even good sirs. Holy right. shit.
To put any and all biases aside, I am writing this stone sober at 1 in the afternoon. Your lowbrow humor is hilarious. Dick, fart, pussy fart, shit, racist and or gay jokes are funny, and they will always be funny. I admire the lengths. This is my favorite. I admire the lengths in which you two strive to provide this kind of symphonic humor. It's more or less what me and my friends do any given Saturday night with a case of PBR. So, okay. I do think that the show could use some improvements, however.
Uh-oh.
But that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the one major thing that is missing is a woman's perspective. I think that a third co-host who is a woman would be a much-needed angle. Besides, with a chick on the show, it's a virtual gold mine for jokes. Also, a chick can provide insight to things we guys have no idea about. For example, the Vagina Princess segments were hilarious, and I was a little sad when that part of the show was over. perhaps one thing you could do is get more audience participation is to announce who you are going to interview and let your listeners generate a list of questions, of which you pick your favorites and then pose them to your interview. Now, that is a great idea.
It is.
But we can't do that because we can't do that. Unfortunately, we can't do that, and we'll explain why on another episode. Audience participation is key. Rock shows are always better when the audience is into it as much as if not more than the band. Why can't it be like that for podcasts? I'm saying the same thing. That's what I've been saying to you guys. I think contests would be a good thing too. Get some more t-shirts. God, I need to just go. When I'm trying to read, I should just go like this.
I can't even move my fucking lips, but I still kick it all day.
Yeah, I my mouth and my eyes, my brain is handicapped. Anyway.
I was just thinking you're doing a better job than I would.
Okay, I think contests would be a good thing, too. Get some more t-shirts and or stickers printed up and do some things where people have to send in pictures of themselves doing something stupid or whatever. That's all I've got for now. I think if I think of anything else, I will let you know. Keep up and stay cock strong. It's capitalized.
Nice.
Cock strong is capitalized. And that was from Jade. So let's touch on this. Okay, first of all, the interview thing. That is an excellent idea. Hopefully one day when there's podcast regulations, we will be able to do that. But at this time, we can't. The second thing is a woman's perspective. Personally, for doing this show, yes, having a woman on the show has always made it even better. The problem is finding a woman who will sit down with the two of us and not think of us as pigs is very difficult.
And the other problem is the way we do this show from long distance, it would be us walking all over one another.
Right. And we don't want to walk all over each other. We want to follow each other.
Yeah.
Train
choo-choo.
Come on, everybody. And ride it.
Yeah, right in.
So, you know, I am looking into having something to do with that. You know, we did have Norma Jean used to be on the show, and she did an outstanding job. Jade, may I suggest you go back and listen to some of the Norma Jean episodes with watching porn. Those were good.
So hot.
They were. Hey, it was even hotter watching her watch them.
Oh yeah.
And then
except when you made her watch Two Girls One Cup.
Maybe I like to see girls puke. Maybe I'm into that.
It didn't turn me off. I gagged a couple times, but
I didn't push stop.
Yeah. Hell, I kept going.
And when we had the Vagina Princess on, Mrs. Bubba, obviously, you know, Mrs. Bubba is no longer on the show because Mr. Bubba, Uncle Bubba, and Mrs. Bubba parted ways, and I did not have a verbal contract with Mrs. Bubba, and so she is no longer available for the show. So if there are any females out there that would like to give it a try, we'll be happy to have you on the show. We'll probably start you off small with, like, one segment. You know, we're not going to give you the stage.
No.
You know.
Can't upstage us.
Right. Men are superior, so we can't.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a Saudi Arabian approach to this whole thing.
You'll have to put on one of those veils.
And you can't drive.
And you can't talk, but you can host with us.
And you can't eat with us in a restaurant. You got to eat on the other side of the room.
Yeah. Take that, bitch.
Just saying.
Just part of the contract. That's all. Anyway.
Yep. Verbal contract.
He's making very good points. All these are very good points. I got this and I was like, you know what? I thought Jade was just a drunk who liked our show. But this guy's intelligent.
He is. And from, isn't it Minnesota?
Yeah, I think so, actually.
Yeah.
So
Jade might be on top of things.
Yeah. Right? You better be careful, man. He might be taking your spot here in 4 months. I'm just joking. Anyway, and the other thing was contests. We have done 100 contests, and they either get a lot of response or they don't get any response. the last one we really tried to do was the Hug of 34 contest, and that got shot down. It didn't go anywhere. Right now we're trying. Hell, you want me to give you a free T-shirt to get your address, or you know, we want to send Peter out. That Cocker thing was awesome. We had 30 people lined up for that until he was abducted by aliens.
You know what the difference is on that, Blake? I'm the co-host now. Maybe people don't like me.
I like you.
Okay.
I just think you're a nice guy. So, you know, yes, we will be happy to do, you know, we'll be happy to do more contests. If we get some participation, we can, let's think of a contest for the next show. We want to do that?
Yeah, we can.
All right.
Send BJ all your hate mail contest or something.
Yeah, the most hate, the best hate mail contest.
Yeah.
If you can offend,
that would work.
Whoever can offend BJ the most with their hate mail wins an IBWIP T-shirt and stickers. I got one shirt left.
Ooh.
So how's that? We'll do that.
Yeah. The hate mail contest.
The hate mail.
And it has to be to my email.
Right, which is AmishBJ@IBWIP.com. And
right.
Look like, okay, the cutoff date. Let me bear with me a moment. I'll get the calendar out here. We have to have entries in by August 14th. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
August 14th.
And I think we should throw that on. If you send me hate mail, send me some titty pics.
And if you send him hate mail, if you sign up for Peter and you send him hate mail, even if you don't win, we'll automatically send you some IBWIP stickers. And the good ones, not the shitty ones that you had at first.
Oh, nice.
Right.
Blake, you are doubling down on this shit.
I'm trying to show how serious I am about this thing we call podcasting and the thing we call IP.
I will read all the dirty, nasty shit you guys say about me on the next episode.
Sounds good. All right, so there it is. That's all we got to do. See how easy that is? Jade made a suggestion. We took it, and we're running with it.
Like that.
Like it's going out of style.
Yeah, we dropped it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Okay, so that's a lot of stuff we went through.
Wow, that is.
How do you feel right now?
I feel good.
Good.
I'm ready to take on the world, Blake. And I'm half drunk.
He's ready to take on the world, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, nuh-uh. You did not. Oh, yeah. Hey, Coley will even sing this with me.
Where it began.
Come on, BJ.
I can't begin to know it. But then I know it's growing strong.
Cock strong.
Wasn't the spring.
Was in the spring.
And spring became,
the summer.
Who'd have believed it comes along?
Okay, I'm going to give you one chance at the hook.
Hands. Touching hands.
Reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline.
Good times never felt so good.
So good.
Holy shit, Blake, you just riled me up.
That's my boy right there. BJ is the man.
Yeah. I've been hardcore down with Neil Diamond since day one, bitch.
Since the 70s, bitches.
Yep, since 1979.
Since you were a little gleam in your daddy's eye.
In his blue fucking tuxedo that he wore to the prom with my mom.
Nice. My dad wore one of those for his second wedding. Hence the word second.
Well, my dad already had a kid when he went to the prom with my mom.
Oh.
Yeah, awesome.
Are you okay? Do we need to talk? Are you okay?
I didn't know about her until I was like 15.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's some crazy shit.
Okay, well, we got one more segment, so we don't want to blow our load on this last one.
Yeah.
But there's nothing better after listening to Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. There's nothing better than following that up with BJ's Double Shot. BJ, tell us what we're going to be hearing, buddy.
Well, you are going to be hearing Blue Skies by Danny Kaye and the Nightlifers and Murder by Sean K. Preston.
We're playing Murder for Casey Anthony. This would this song goes out to Casey Anthony. Nah, that's
this is Casey Kasem with the top 40 hits.
You might have got away with it this time, but don't try it again.
Biatch.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, that was a great half hour.
Oh my God, was it a half hour?
Yeah.
Well, blue skies, open desert roads, searching for my baby who left so long ago. And when I find my Arizona rose, gonna beg that girl for one more chance, but only heaven knows. I traveled many back roads and under city lights, find that these sunny days have turned to lonesome nights. And when those tears that are falling have finally dried my eyes, I know it's time to move on under new blue skies. Been so many miles and finally I see you. This is the only place I wanna be. I know now I'm not the only one to blame, but I travel on just the same. Under blue skies, open desert roads, searching for my baby who left so long ago. So close, I find I'm so far. Sun's always shining when I wish upon a star. And when those tears that are falling have finally become my sighs, I know it's time to move on under new blue skies. I've been so many miles and finally I see this is the only place I wanna be.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. And we have a special birthday gift for our good friend Amish BJ. His birthday was at the beginning of July. And we have with us Mama BJ. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk about your wonderful son, and hopefully we can embarrass him a little bit.
We'll try.
So what was BJ like as a little boy?
He actually was a very good kid. Or you could take him anywhere. He never asked for anything. He was just really a very kind, loving little boy. He came home from school one day. I'm not sure if it was fourth or fifth grade. And he said, "Mom, there are two new girls in school. They're twins." "Oh, Mom, la, 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 twice as nice." And I thought, oh, my God, he's only in fourth or fifth grade.
Oh, my goodness.
So he came home a couple weeks later, and he said, "Oh, Mom, the twins have chicken pox." I said, "Oh, they do." He said, "Yeah, they're not going to be in school for a little while." I said, oh, that's too bad. I feel bad for him. Well, over Christmas vacation, VJ got the chicken pox.
Oh. So
he never talked about those little girls anymore. It wasn't ooh la la twice as nice anymore.
Right. So his love for the ladies spawned even from a young child.
Yes. Yes.
So was he a troublemaker? Did he get ornerier as he got older?
He got ornerier as he got older because, no, he was a good kid. He was the kid in school that stuck up for the underdog.
Oh. Maybe that's why,
yeah.
Maybe that's why he does the show, because he feels sorry for me.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but no, he was never too much of a troublemaker. Maybe as he got older, he got a little bit worse, but...
For what you
not as a kid.
For what you know about, right? There's probably
right, exactly. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty mom didn't know about.
It's better that mom doesn't know. That's what my mom says.
That's right.
So, did he always have a love for music? Because, you know, obviously being on, you know, how we met is, you know, through music and stuff. Did he always really like music, or did you see a certain time in his life where he really started to get into, you know?
No, he always loved music. He stayed with his grandmother from the time he was 2 weeks old. And my mother loved Neil Diamond. BJ loves Neil Diamond.
He probably wouldn't admit that, though, would he?
No, he probably wouldn't admit that. That's probably right. But he can pick out a Neil Diamond song, and he enjoys it. But no, his grandma always listened to music, and I think that's where he got his love. There was always music blaring in his room, which we lived in a four-room house. So the music blaring in his room meant it was blaring through the whole house.
So everybody got a taste of whatever BJ was listening to.
Right. And I'd yell up the steps, hey, BJ, turn that down. You're vibrating the windows. And sometimes I think it went back up. It went up louder instead of down.
So, you know, did you ever think that he would be a famous, world-famous podcaster / radio host?
No. I am, to this day, still surprised that he is doing this. I didn't think he would want to, go out to so many people.
Sure.
I always thought he was a little more shy.
An introvert more so.
Yeah.
He has a very witty sense of humor. Was he always a funny kid, or?
Oh yes.
Always a jokester.
Always a jokester.
He seems to
everything
have,
was always funny to him.
He seems to have a line for everything.
Oh yes, he does.
You know, and over the, you know, the last 3 years or so, I've really gotten to know him and know Nicole and his boys. You know, looking at him now as a father, as you know, more so than, you know, seeing him as your son, as a father and as a husband. You got to be pretty proud of the guy.
I am very proud of him. He didn't have a very good role model in his own father, but he was around my father and my brother a lot, and he has turned into such a great husband and father. I am so proud of him. He does so much with those boys, and I'm starting to get teary-eyed thinking about it.
Oh, I didn't mean to get y'all ruffled, but you know, that's one. You know, like I said, I've known him for a couple 3 years now, and just you can tell that, you know, he's a stand-up guy, and he takes care of his family, and
he does. And he works very hard, but he's always got time to do something with those boys. You know, every weekend he tries to take something and make it special for the boys.
Right. That's you know, ultimately as a parent, that's what you want. You want to be able to look at your son and your daughter and, you know, make sure that they're good parents themselves. So you did a good job.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I so much did a good job. I'll have to tell you, my mother always said, when he was good, she'd say, boy, I've done such a wonderful job raising him. And as soon as he was bad or in trouble, she'd say, I don't know how you're raising him.
My grandma always used to say, back when you were little and cute, and I go, what am I now? She goes, I'd rather not answer.
Uh-huh.
Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. You know, I wanted to give BJ a little surprise, and I thought this was the best way to do it. And I want to thank his wife, Nicole, for lining it up. And we actually have a cute little picture of him when he was 15 months old that she provided for us. So,
oh, man, and the one in his little blue suit.
Yes, the little blue suit.
Oh, that's my favorite picture of him.
Awesome. Well, again, I do appreciate you taking just a few minutes of your time, and he's a good guy, and I'm honored to have him as a friend, and I'm definitely honored to have him as a co-host because he kind of holds the show up. When I'm not funny, he comes up with something good to say. So,
well, I'm glad. I'm glad I did a good job with him.
Yep. All right.
And well, he makes me proud, and I love him very much.
That's awesome. All right, Mama BJ, thank you very much. And we are going to go back to the show, and hopefully by now he's red in the face and embarrassed all the heck.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good, huh?
Yeah, I just want to tell you guys, you're all assholes. Including you, Goat. And you know who I'm talking about, Mom, if you're listening to this.
Oh, she will be.
You guys are funny, doing all this shit behind my back.
Well, you know.
But we love you.
Yeah, yeah. I love you guys, too.
You know what? Your mom jumped on that so quick. I asked her, and she was like, yeah, I'll do it, because he's a brat.
I didn't even have to offer her money.
Did you give her a verbal contract for that?
There was no verbal contract. So that's your little Burns and IP birthday present.
That's like this is your life kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to kind of do that, but you don't have that many friends to make it like a whole show. So we just had to do that.
Oh, you guys. I wanted to say you're an asshole from the get-go, but then phone rang. I had to unplug my mic, so you probably heard the doo-doo on my computer. So sorry about that halfway through.
So you can hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Okay, okay.
Okay, okay.
Okay, ready? Okay.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I am ready. All right, here we go, Blake. All right, guys, and welcome back to
what about the women?
WIP.
You said guys. What? There's women that listen to the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm used to saying guys is a broad term for human beings.
Because women don't matter.
Yeah. Not really. Not in Saudi Arabia, they don't. But anyway, I just sprayed my double load all over your fine, fine bodies with my double shot. All you guys out there.
Yeah, all you guys out there. We started off gay. We started off gay. We're going to end gay.
Yeah, even after a 24-hour break.
Oh, yeah. Let's tell them what they heard, and then we'll talk about that bullshit.
Okay. You heard Blue Skies by Danny Kaye and the Nightlifers and Murder by Sean K. Preston.
Yeah, so last night, we're taping a show, and the fucking internet and the cable just drops, just goes out. And I'm sitting here talking, and, you know, because I'm looking at the recording thing, and it's still going, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, BJ? Nothing.
I was doing the same thing on this end. I'm like, what the fuck? Blake hung up on me. What the hell? And I keep trying to call you back.
You're like, my four more episode verbal contract is over.
Yeah. What the hell? He axed me in the middle of a show, and we were doing so damn good, too.
You don't mess with Blake Clayton.
I think I did call you an asshole or something. I really feel bad about that because it was really nice what you guys did. But
well, I know it's a term of endearment coming from you.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, I call my mom an old goat. So I have ever since I've been, what, probably 12. But I never meant anything by it. Right. I love my mama.
Yeah, and she loves you. And I wanted to show the tender side of It Burns When I Pee, because so many people think that we're just idiotic, you know, immature bastards, but we have a soft side.
Yeah, it comes out every now and again, but most of the time we are immature assholes.
Right, because we're best at that.
Yeah. So anyway, this whole 24-hour shutdown just totally ruined our mojo for this show. I mean, we had topics, we had everything, and then all of a sudden me and Blake sat around for a half an hour before we started taping this going, what do we talk about?
Yeah, and it doesn't help that I have diarrhea. Because I got so...
and I have a very itchy butt crack.
I got so worked up today that I got diarrhea.
That is not good, Blake. Remember the last time you had diarrhea and let Rory out?
Hey.
Shit flaming hot poo all down your leg.
Shit flaming hot poo.
Flaming hot runny poo.
And I thought to myself, what is the best way to get us back, you know, get us back into the mood of...
For me, it would be booze.
Are you just going to be booze?
And,
or porn.
And
hey,
porn.
I did make a new friend today.
Did you?
Yes. He is French-Canadian.
Oh, Pags.
Yes, we are best friends now. We're BFFs. I'm going to ask him to bring me some Canadian porn.
Nice. I don't know if you want Canadian porn.
I just want it just for the novelty. That's the only reason I want Amy Winehouse's syringe.
And because you just want AIDS to be floating around
right.
in the air?
I want to live life on the wild side. I want to have AIDS at my disposal at any time.
Yes, the HIV. I'm kind of getting the heebies just thinking about syringes. Well, I seen today that they said she may not have been on drugs.
Oh.
They found no drugs in the house. But that... They said the night before she went and bought like four different kinds of drugs. So that the reason why there was no drugs in the house is probably because they were all inside of
her.
They're
all in her anus right now, her anal cavity.
Yeah. She put them in a balloon and they burst inside.
Well, we want to remind everybody that, you know, earlier we talked about the contest that you sprouted out.
Don't you love how I do that shit?
No, I liked it. I was very proud of it. You want to rehash it for everybody in case they fell asleep during the show?
Sure. Wake up! But anyway.
Oh, wait. No, here. If we want people to wake up, there's only one thing we can do.
Okay.
And my internet sucks. But, okay, now go ahead and explain it with this in the background.
Okay, I shall. Neil Diamond makes me happy, so I shall say what I did. Well... We said we were looking for ideas, ideas for a contest, and I said, well, why don't we take the dirtiest, nastiest hate mail that I get? And it's got to be to my AmishBJ@IBWIP.com address.
Right.
And you got to send me the dirtiest, nastiest freaking hate mail. I mean, like, grit your teeth while you're writing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be hate mail. It can't be just like, fuck shit, cunt bitch, yeah, slippery you can't pussy be nipples. Just like,
fuck you, asshole. Right. It's got to be well thought out. And
it's got to make sense.
Like,
it's got to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to feel your hatred for me. Because I know it's out there. Somebody has it. And you just got to let it out. Because I am no Norma Jean. I am no Uncle Bubba.
You're the man. And we said, what did we say the cutoff date was? August
13th, I believe.
Let me just double check that for you. Since Encyclopedia Billy is not around. August 14th.
14th.
Has to have it in by the 14th. So send it. What's your email address?
AmishBJ@IBWIP.com.
Awesome. Well, buddy, I think we had a good show. I'm proud of it.
I think we did too.
And I, as always, you know, I'm going to really miss when your contract is up.
I'm going to miss it too, Blake. I really am. I'm getting sadder and sadder as the episodes go on. In three more episodes, I'll probably be like, through the whole thing, like, fighting back tears and doing the dry heaves. And
this is the July show, so we really didn't celebrate our independence like we should have.
I was rocking out to this song last night.
Did I get you going after we got off the phone?
Yeah, you did. And I'm surprised my mom said that I don't announce that I like Neil Diamond.
Well, I think I tried to lead her into it. I tried to lead her into saying you didn't like it.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't care who knows I like Neil Diamond. That guy's freaking awesome.
We're coming to America. Let's take a few seconds just to enrich ourselves. My only problem with Neil is his hair. The guy just does not have good hair.
Yeah, he has very horrible hair. And very, very horrible.
You'd think as rich as he was, he would have had good hair.
Yeah, or a better comb over.
Right, exactly. So.
I mean, but look at Trump. Trump has horrible hair.
Right. That's like, and it's a signature of his. So.
Yeah.
Well, happy late Independence Day to everybody. Happy Amy Winehouse Death Day. Make sure we get fan feedback. BJ is anxiously awaiting that Air Burns and IP t-shirt, the last one in existence that I haven't sweat in, is the
Do
prize.
You have a few of them? Like,
no, I have one. Well, oh, for like my personal, I got two, I think.
Yeah.
One that I masturbate with.
You got your jit rag.
Right. Well, thank you, buddy. We got one more song. Is there anybody you want to... I want to say thank you to Lester from the Pine Box Boys. Definitely. It was great to have him on. I hope he's not offended by this show.
I want to say thank you to you, Blake, my mom, and Nicole for pulling the biggest... I had no freaking clue. You guys actually pulled one over on me. And that damn show art, I could kill you all for it.
I was just going to make the whole thing just that big picture of you in your little blue suit, as Mom said.
But damn, I'm cute in that picture.
What happened?
I don't know. Puberty, drugs, booze.
Women.
Tons of food. Women. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of women, we got one more song to finish out the night, and we're going to play White Trash Girl by Rusty Belt Homewreckers. So, BJ, thank you again.
Thank you, Blake.
Have your people call my people. We'll stay in touch.
Okay.
All right, here
only
it is.
Three more episodes left.
White Trash Girl by Rust Belt Homewreckers.
Are you a blogger, a podcaster, not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you'll find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and free site builder with easy control panel. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.